countryside. He's on a preaching and teaching circuit, I guess you could say. Basically, he's going from synagogue to synagogue, and on the Sabbath in that town, he would go into the synagogue, he would read some scripture, and then he would give a teaching on it to the people attending. And the people were soaking it up. He was becoming popular. Good reports are being spread all about Jesus and his teaching. And so when he comes to his hometown of Nazareth, where he was raised, it is expected that he would do what he had been doing throughout the countryside, that he would go into the synagogue, read, and then give a teaching on it. Now, on this particular Sabbath, Jesus is handed a passage from Isaiah that speaks of the long-awaited Messiah, the anointed one of God who is to come in glory and bring glory and restoration to the people of Israel. And so when Jesus sits down after reading the passage, which is the position you would take when teaching, I guess, people are waiting. They're in eager expectation about what this young, fresh, popular, new teacher whom they've grown up with is going to say. And all he says after reading is, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." That's the entirety of his message. It's like he just drops the mic, walks away. He's done. Mic drop. Now next week, in our gospel lesson, we'll hear more about how the people reacted, how they responded to Christ's statement, his declaration. But this week, we focus really on the content of what Christ read, because what he reads from the prophet Isaiah is basically a summary of who Jesus is and why he has come. It is basically like his mission statement, his purpose statement, is this passage from Isaiah. From Isaiah, Jesus reads about himself, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." You could almost think of these words as though they are marching orders for Christ. This is what he's here to do, these very things. And so by way of Isaiah, Jesus declares that, first of all, this mission is granted to him by the Lord, by God Almighty, through the Spirit. And that's a significant thing, because this means, basically, this is a Trinitarian thing. This is the entire Godhead, Father, Son, and Spirit, working together for this mission on earth, which is to bring good news and to bring and preach release to the captives. Now, you probably could spend a sermon on each line that Christ reads from Isaiah and figure out, or even do a Bible study on how Jesus is each of these things. But this morning I'm really only going to focus on what the main thrust of this passage is, which is Christ's mission to proclaim release to the captives and to let the oppressed go free. The first thing that should be said, though, is when we hear that word oppressed, often we'll immediately take it into a social context, social justice, and to a degree that is present here. But the word in Greek literally means broken. And so when Jesus is here talking about the oppressed, he's talking about people who are broken, the broken ones. People who are just humbled and falling apart. So those who are captive and those who are broken both need freedom. They need to be released from their prisons. Now, throughout Jesus' early ministry, or his earthly ministry, let me say that, Jesus manifests this release, of the captives and letting the broken go free. And we see this when Jesus heals the sick. If you've been really ill or really sick, you might have felt like you are captive to that. You might feel like it makes you a broken person, like you are bound to it. And in Christ's ministry on earth, he releases people from that bondage. He also exorcises demons. What greater picture would there be of someone who is captive than by someone who is possessed by an evil spirit? Jesus goes to those who come before him and he releases them of those things. He causes the paralyzed and the lame to walk. In Luke's gospel, he even gives life to those who are dead. Raises the dead, who are arguably the most broken of all. Now, Christ does these things. He does this mission for two reasons. The first reason is apparent. It's easy to see, and that is that Jesus is merciful. He cares. He cares about people in the here and now. He looks at people and he loves them and he wants to provide for them. He cares about your cancer. He cares about your brokenness. He cares about your illness. He cares about your marriage. He cares about your personal well-being. He cares whether you are hungry or not, whether you have daily provisions. The Lord is merciful. He cares. The second reason is that in the grand and cosmic view of it all, really is that the sick and lame, it's the kind of small potatoes. It's not the only purpose for what Jesus came to do. These miracles that Christ does on earth are always pointing towards something. They reveal who he is in his very nature and his character, and they reveal what Christ has come to do, which is to release and give freedom to all. For those who trust in Christ, look forward to a day when we are no longer broken, when we are no longer complete or captive. Because even if we are completely healthy people, things are going completely well for us, there is still brokenness. We still have things that we are in bondage to, that we are held captive to, and many of us certainly still suffer on account of those captivities. We say this in our confessions, that we are bound. We are in bondage to sin, to death. I was reading some of the accounts of the Iranian and American prisoners that were recently released from a prison or captivity in Iran. And there's not a lot of details yet, at least when I was reading about what their experience was like. But I found another account of a lady who had been a captive in the same place that these recent captives were. And she talked about what it was like for her. And she says that they constantly hammer into your head that nobody cares about you outside of prison. If only you cooperate, then we will help you get out. And they never help you to get out. That's what captivity is. It's what bondage is. It's being locked away where you cannot become free, when there is this inability to escape, and all that it is to be oppressed and broken. Now, to some degree, we all experience bondage like that. It might not be at the hands of somebody imposing their will upon us from the outside, But it is on account of our own sin. We all carry our own prisons with us. Maybe it's the anger that you have, that you know you have, that you express to others, and you cannot stop doing it. Or perhaps it's an addiction that you know you have, but you can't break free of it. Or it's the frustration you experience when you do that thing that you know you don't want to do, but you do it anyway, and you know it's wrong, yet you can't seem to overcome. Captivity makes us broken. Christ's mission was to release the captives, to let the broken ones go free. And how he does so is going to sound dangerously simple. It all begins with forgiveness. Because that is what freedom and release really are. In fact, in this passage that Christ reads from Isaiah, the Greek translation of it, that word for release and the word for free is the same word used later in Luke for forgiveness. To set the captives free, forgiven. To let the broken go, forgiven. It's the same word. It is the purpose that Christ has come to do. That those who are broken and humbled and see themselves as captive come before the Lord as a broken person, seeking His forgiveness. This is why I like our confession and forgiveness, especially from our green hymnal, because in it we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We are held captive. But as broken people in bondage, we come before the Lord and we hear the words of forgiveness granted to us. That Jesus Christ was given to die for you. And for His sake, for the sake of Jesus, not for your sake, but for the sake of Jesus who died for you, God forgives you all your sins. You are released. You are set free. Through His death on the cross, Christ is able to grant us release from our bondage to sin. Through His death, He gives you freedom from the guilt of your sin, names you child of God. You are then brother, you are sister of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And as the Spirit descended upon Him, the Spirit is given to you to take your wounds and sometimes to painfully clean them out, like hydrogen peroxide kind of clean out, so that they become really clean. And the Spirit will then bandage them with the forgiveness of Christ. But it doesn't stop there. The Spirit comes to you and works in you to help prevent those wounds from happening again. But if they do, the Lord's forgiveness is right there. This is what Christ's mission is. And like I said, next week we'll read again from this passage, extending it even further, and we'll hear how people responded to this. Today in faith, though, we respond to it as broken people, coming before the Lord, receiving His word of forgiveness. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.